Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Hallelujah. Today I want to speak on the subject of spiritual and social grace, or if you like, power before God and men. And we want to take a reading from Leviticus chapter 4 and then verse 6. The Bible says, "The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary." Please underline seven times. Verse 17, the same chapter. "Then the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times," underline seven times, "before the Lord in front of the veil." Now, what we just read refers to the blood of the sin offering. The sin offering. Israel had an offering. They called it the sin offering. The blood of the sin offering was sprinkled seven times, you know. So Jesus Christ, as our sin offering in this dispensation, in this time and age, he has to fulfill being our sin offering by shedding blood seven times, so to speak. So Jesus shed blood seven times from Gethsemane to the cross. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel speaks what? Vengeance. But the blood of Jesus Christ speaks what? Grace. It means that there is a message in the blood. Jesus was full of grace and truth. So anytime he shed blood, as it were, his blood was sprinkled, anytime it happened, the blood was releasing grace. It was speaking grace. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So Jesus' blood speaks better things. He speaks grace. He speaks mercy. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand that the seven times that Jesus shed his blood released seven types of grace and truth to make us rule in the seven areas of life that we must rule. So there are seven areas of life that we must rule, namely over sin, over self, over sickness, over situations, over society, over seasons, and over Satan. These are the seven areas. When Jesus Christ shed his blood, you know, the blood was speaking. It had a message. It was releasing grace, seven types of grace, to make us rule in all these seven areas of life. Now, I want us to understand that because of what Jesus Christ has done, believers must be full of grace. We must have abundance of grace. We must increase in grace. The Bible says that he giveth more grace. So God is interested in us receiving more grace. Esau, for example, didn't have more grace. You know, the Bible says that he came short of the grace of God. It means that he had grace, but it was short. The thing was not full. He came short of the grace of God. The Bible says that we should look diligently, lest any one of us become like Esau, who was short of the grace of God. I know you are full of grace, or I should say, I know you have the grace of God. Once being alive, there is the grace of God upon your life. But the question I want to ask you, is it short or it is full? How do I know, Pastor, that I am full of grace? The Bible says that those of us who receive fullness of Jesus' grace, abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness will rule in life. So the thing is that if you have received these seven types of grace, you are going to be a ruler in life. That is a sign. Hallelujah. When you receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, which is a gracious thing also, you will rule in life by Jesus Christ. Why by Jesus? Because he's the one who shed his grace. Jesus has grace. He was full of grace and truth. The Bible says that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Hallelujah. So we want to talk about some two graces, so to speak, that Jesus Christ had today. We want to talk about two of them. I choose to put them together because I noticed in my studies, as the Spirit of God taught me this subject, that God always had it together. And what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Is that great? Wonderful. All right. So, Jesus Christ on this earth, he had a remarkable grace. That grace is needed by us in this life, not in heaven. You need the grace of Jesus Christ in this life. Of course, in heaven we'll be shown more grace. Hallelujah. But in this life, the Bible says in Revelation 22 verse 21, the end of the Bible is like this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This is the end of the counsel of God. He recommends only one thing to us, that the grace that my son carried when he came in human form, those of you who are my children, who are in human form, who are on this earth, you must have that grace also. Today we want to speak about spiritual and social grace, because in the Bible, God puts them together. So there is a remarkable grace that Jesus Christ had. It was so outstanding about him. So outstanding about him that you, when you read his story, you will not miss it. He had it right from his infancy. He had such a grace that made God favor him. He had such a grace that made people favor him. Hallelujah. Jesus had not worked any miracle when God said to him, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." It's wonderful. This is grace. Jesus experienced special grace from God. Hallelujah. And as he grew up, in fact, when he was just about 2 years old, can you imagine that kings were attracted to him? Sometimes we zero in just on the gifts, that the kings came to give him gifts. I believe that it is true, but I believe more than that, these were wise men. These were wise people. They came to see Jesus. They came to show him grace, among which was the gifts that they gave him. But isn't it very wonderful, a life of a baby, that kings from the east, they leave their economy and they just come. They say, "I just want to see him." It's powerful. When such a grace is upon your life, my brother and my sister, people will like to see you. Okay. Yeah. Not ordinary people. Important people, wise people will want to see you. Don't worry at all when people, I should be careful now. People who are wise, they will want to see you. Because they will know that there is something about you. It is those who are unwise who will shun you. Even when this grace is upon you, those who shun you, those who do not get close to you, they are not wise. But the wise will come. And they will come. They are wise already, but they want to have some kind of fellowship with you. That's powerful. And I believe when they were going, they said that we have some gifts for you. This is the grace that was on Jesus in such a way that he had not gone anywhere. He had not been to Bible school. But when he was 12 years old, he entered the temple. Of course, he had to go. But the miracle of this grace upon his life was that after the church service was over, when everybody was tired, people have to go home. Those people at those times, their service was very physical and manual. So afterwards, you should be tired. But for 3 days, Jesus overstayed in church, and the doctors of the law and the leadership of Israel, they were okay to be with Jesus. Or if you like, to accept Jesus. Jesus had favor before men. It was such a miracle that he was asking them questions and he was answering their questions, and they stayed 3 days. Jesus, according to him, he was in the temple for 3 days. And the doctors of the law, they were with him. What favor? What favor? After church, what favor? That you are not qualified, but people just like to be with you, or you to be there. Of course, like I qualified a wise people. Suddenly these rulers are wise. Do you understand that? These rulers are wise. It is only people, oh, forgive me, Lord. It's only people who are unwise, who will vote into power, leaders who are not wise. And so we gather every day as Christians and we are praying for wisdom. My question is that he's not wise. Why did you put him there? Is it now that you are asking for wisdom for him? So we should be careful. Hallelujah. A leader is already wise. So the energy asking wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. What is this? Pastor, are you trying to say that we shouldn't pray for wisdom for our leaders? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that let's not spend all our time. Every time we are praying for wisdom, every time we are praying for wisdom for our leaders, these leaders of the Jewish society, they were already wise. They liked Jesus' company. He was not trained like them, but he accepted him. 3 days he was with them, answering their questions. The Bible says that they were astonished at his wisdom and his understanding. Wonderful. Jesus Christ had a spiritual grace for these spiritual people to take him in. He had a spiritual grace. He had a social grace. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. One of the height of this spiritual and social grace is when he was calling his apostles. Do you know how he called his apostles? The Bible says that he will see them and he will say, follow me. And they followed him. If this is not favor before men, this is not the height of favor before men, I don't know what you think it is. You think Jesus was charming them? He wasn't charming them. It was just favor. Favor. He just called them like that. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they follow him. They leave their jobs to follow him. What social grace, what spiritual grace was upon him? Powerful one. Look at the book of Luke chapter 2 verse 52. What the Bible says over there is wonderful. Luke chapter 2 verse 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men. You see that? In favor with God and men. This is spiritual favor with God and social favor or social grace with men. Look also at Genesis 32 verse 28. I want you to understand that this grace that I am talking about is a rulership grace. Genesis 32 verse 28. The Bible is talking about our father Jacob, who was given a new name. The name was Israel. Israel means that he rules with God. The L, E-L, that ends the name Israel, is God. Israel means he rules with God. So when God changed the name of Jacob to Israel, he was telling him that I am giving you a certain rulership grace. You are no more a cheat. You are no more deceitful. You have had an encounter with God. He is now a believer, just as you, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are a spiritual Israel. You rule with God. Says that as a prince, look at that scripture. As a prince, you have power with God and men and have prevailed. You see, power with God and power with men is talking about this twin grace that we are speaking about. Spiritual grace, that's power with God, and social grace, that's power with men. Jesus had power with men. This is a rulership grace. It makes you rule in life. Hallelujah. It's powerful. It makes you a ruler. With spiritual grace, you have power with God. With social grace, you have power with men. And I believe that in this life, this is where we need power with men. We need power with God and power with men. It's wonderful. Jesus Christ has such power with men that multitudes will follow him. Multitudes. These were public people who followed him. Apart from that, he had secret followers. And the people who are attracted to you will be in these twofold. Some will be public, and some will be secret, like Nicodemus. Yeah. Some people, they will behave as if they don't like you. They will behave as if you are nothing. You are one of the people. They will behave publicly like that. They won't recognize you. They don't recognize any grace that you have. They don't recognize you for anything. I don't know. Except when you die. When you die, then they recognize you and they will say how special you are. How God was with you. How God has blessed them through you. But they won't tell you now. Don't be offended. It's okay. Jesus had people like that.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. But it is part of the social grace I'm sharing with you. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't understand whether it is for something. You see, this weekend I met a friend of mine, a classmate of mine actually, who taught me mathematics during the O level many years ago, 1985 or so. He taught me mathematics during the third term every day. This is my classmate. He was a science student. I was not a science student. I met this man at a funeral on Friday, and I was introducing him to another friend, a work colleague, that see this guy greeting for me. Had it not been for him, I would have gone Second World War in mathematics. Because this guy, this my classmate, would sit me down, you know. I would go to him, let me say that. I would go to him, I would tell him, teach me. Please teach me mathematics. You teach me, you give me assignment, I will do it, submit it to my classmate. Some of you, you bump your exams because you are so full of pride. You don't want to go to anybody except when the person dies. Then you humble yourself and say all the nice things. But I'm telling you that you can have social grace. Some of it will let people respond to you publicly. Some of it too, they will come secretly. But the wise people would. I tell you, anybody who has this grace, wise people will be attracted to them. It's wonderful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know what it is out of pride that we do that, especially in our culture. Out of pride, where we have the same age. It doesn't matter. The issue is that he has mathematics grace. You don't have. So go. Let him give you assignment. Do it. Let him mark it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
At the end of the day, you see that God puts you somewhere and then it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But there's a guy who taught me in such a way that I did even better than some of the science people, in fact.
Wow.
Yeah, that's powerful. What I'm saying is that let us humble ourselves so that what? God will exalt you in due time. Humbling yourself to somebody who is higher than you is not kingdom humility, because you have to humble yourself. He is older than you. Eh? He is richer than you. He is more experienced in life than you. So you have to be humble. That one, you can't be. But when the person is your peer and you have to humble yourself to get a spirit of wisdom, that is kingdom humility. That is the kind of humility that the heavenly kingdom recognizes. It's not shyness. Oh, I shy. Shyness is a negative thing. It will not help you. Let me go on. Hey, we don't have time. But, of course, I'm not saying that everybody in this world will like you. Please, don't get that impression. There are some people, you can take your intestines out and put it on top of your head for them. They won't recognize it. So please, don't think like everybody will like you. Not everybody really like Jesus. Not so.
Yeah.
So with spiritual and social grace, many wonderful things are going to happen to you. My brother, my sister. Hallelujah. People who did not like you, they will become your tight friends with this. People who ignored you for whatever reason that they have, they will look for you just to greet you. Oh yeah? The Bible says even your enemies will be at peace with you. It's wonderful. You will not be somebody who is full of enemies. Everybody is your enemy. As for you, you think that nobody likes you in this world. Everybody is against you. Don't think like that. Because that's a lie from the devil.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And sometimes people want to give other people the impression that they like you more than them. Have you come across people like that? They will tell you that, you know that me, I like you. Other people don't like you, but me, I like you. They are speaking the words of the devil.
Yeah.
Don't mind them. They just want to gain favor.
Yeah.
They just want to lick your boots.
Mercy.
This kind of grace I'm talking about, I'm not talking about boot lickers.
Okay.
People who are yes people. They don't express any other opinion that is contrary to you. Everything that you say yes. Everything they say, you are the best. Everything they say, you are the highest. You are more than Benny Hinn. You are more than Bill Gates. You are the all in all.
Oh my God.
Greater than even God. You give God advice. And God has to listen to you before He blesses anybody. God dare not anoint anybody without your permission. But you see, these bootlickers are like that. They say that it is you and you alone that can do these things. If you are an experienced person, I'm giving you the other side of social grace so that you get to know that I'm not talking about people who are going to lick your boots. Peter was not a bootlicker. Do you think he was a bootlicker? When Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers, or you follow me, do you think that it's because he wanted to lick boots? No. Sometimes you call Jesus, Jesus, come. What you are saying is not correct. No, he was free. At least Jesus saw that, no, this guy, he's not here to lick my boot. He's not a yes man. Everything yes, everything yes. Woe betide you when all those around you never oppose you.
Okay.
And when people oppose you, it doesn't mean they don't like you.
Okay.
It doesn't mean they hate you. It doesn't mean they want to derail you. It's not like that. Because some of you, you are like that. You never confront anybody because you were a very nice person. They say that you are the best gentleman. You are the best everything. Woe betide you if you have that label and you are a Christian. Because it's not possible. I'm trying to tell you something. That it's not everybody who will like you. It's not everybody that you should also go and lick his boots. Hallelujah. If this spiritual and social grace of Jesus is on you, you don't have to be a bootlicker, somebody who is a flatterer, somebody who sings people's praises for no reason. You don't have to. You have to be sincere to yourself. No, be there. Rely upon the spiritual and social grace of God. In due time, he will lift you up. That is why James said that he gives more grace. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due season, he will lift you up. The grace will show. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's wonderful. Jesus had this grace. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when this grace is upon you, you will be irresistible.
Amen.
You understand that way?
Yeah.
People may not like you, your voice. They may not like the pitch or the tone, but I tell you, they can't do without you.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? It's going to be like these Arab people, who are always chanting and burning American flags. And once they are burning American flags, they are wearing American blue jeans. And you wonder, what are you doing? Burn your blue jeans and all the sneakers that are made in the US and all that. Go and burn all of them. In other words, you may not like America, but the thing is that they are irresistible. You still need them. You can do whatever thing, but you will drive their cars. And you will use inventions that came from that land. Whether it's Jewish or not, it came from that land. And you use it. You will be an irresistible person. They can say, down with America, down with America, down with America. But when they go to their room, all the products will be American products. And all the things that you are living your life by, they are things that emanated from that place. Check the foundation. You see that is where you got it. You got it from that place.
Okay.
You are only bluffing as if you are somebody. No, but check the foundation of how you are living your life. You got it from somebody. You got it from some place. You can condemn them. You can say how bad they are. But when you go to your room, and you are quiet and you are sleeping, you say, hey, America is okay. We don't like them, but we can't do away with them. You see that? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus had this special grace. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now, I want you to understand something, that this grace that Jesus had, do you know from where we got it? We got it from his blood that he shed from his cheeks and chin during his passion, from his cheeks and from his chin. During his passion, Isaiah 50 verse 6, it says, I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. It says, I gave my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. People plucked the beard of Jesus. He was bearded. They plucked the beard. and you know that blood will come out. Micah chapter 5 verse 1 says, they will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. They will strike the judge of Israel, talking about our dearest Jesus, our impeccable Savior. They will strike him with a rod on the cheek. Look at Isaiah 52 verse 14. That summarizes all the things that they did that marred his face. Isaiah chapter 52 verse 15. So shall he sprinkle. All right, verse 14. Just as many were astonished at you, referring to Jesus on the cross, so his face was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouth at him, for what they have not been told, they shall see, and what they have not heard, they shall consider. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, he had a marred face. In other words, his face didn't look like that of a man. It was all bloodied, swollen, bloodied from forceful pulling of his beard, whilst they make mockery of him during his passion, and they spat on him during his passion. You know, they hit the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek in such a way that I believe that he swole. So his face was contorted. No bone was broken. But the face didn't look, it was mad. It was destroyed. It was all blood. When Jesus Christ got a destroyed face on the cross during his passion and then on the cross, it was he losing favor so that you will gain favor. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at number 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on.